This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
All gates remain closed at the Naval Air Station Corpus Christi in Texas following a shooting at one of the gates to the air station earlier today. Base officials have not released many details except to say the suspected gunman who prompted a lockdown has been neutralized. It remains unclear if he was shot or arrested. A shopping mall in Glendale, Arizona, which had just reopened after being closed because of the pandemic, the scene of a shooting last night, where a gunman wounded three people, one of whom's in critical condition. This woman took a phone call from her daughter, who works at a restaurant at the Westgate Entertainment District.
She said, just listen to me. There's a shooter here. We're hiding in the back of the building. We have the guests that were eating here and all of the staff. I'm terrified.
The gunman in that case is now in police custody, and this is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
The government says another 2.4 million Americans filed first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week. Since state lockdowns began, more than 38 million people have lost their jobs in America. The CDC is out with some guidelines for public swimming pools just before the Memorial Day weekend. The agency says pool operators should encourage people to wear masks when they're not in the pool, and seating areas should be 6 feet apart, with swimmers staying nearly 6 feet away from others while in the pool. Lori Loughlin and her fashion designer husband, Massimo Giannulli, are now both expected to plead guilty for their roles in the college admissions cheating scandal. The U.S. Attorney's Office saying they will both plead guilty to conspiracy to commit wire and mail fraud. The couple accused of paying $500,000 to have their daughters admitted as crew recruits to the University of Southern California, when in fact they had never rowed. This is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Catastrophic flooding sweeps through Midland County, Michigan, where the governor, Gretchen Whitmer, is now asking President Trump for a federal emergency declaration to help the state's response. That area deluged by 6 to 8 inches of rain over 48 hours, causing 2 dams to fail.
It's going to have a major impact on this community and on our state.
President Trump will be in Michigan today to tour a Ford factory that has been making respirators to help with the COVID-19 response efforts. No word on whether the Democratic Governor Whitmer, who's been a big critic of the president, will be on hand for that visit. The NCAA is clearing 3 college sports to resume activities soon. The Division I Council saying football and men's and women's basketball teams can start working out on campus beginning the 1st of June. A new poll says half of all Americans would rather vote by mail than go to the polls in upcoming elections. The NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll showing 50% of respondents would vote by mail if the option were available during the pandemic. The number of respondents who prefer to vote in person was at 38%. A majority of Democrats are in favor of the mailing in of ballots, while Republicans tend to want to go to the polls. And Graceland is reopening today, as officials say they've been working working to reconfigure operations at Elvis Presley's home so as to adhere to social distancing and other health and safety guidelines. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Live. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. We're going to be talking about five presidents and the brand new book, Team of Five, The President's Club in the Age of Trump. Kate Anderson Brower, author of the number one New York Times bestseller, as you'll recall, The Residence, is going to join us in a few moments. But a little background, because after serving the highest office of American government, five men, Jimmy Carter, the late George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama became members of the world's most exclusive fraternity. In Team of Five, Kate goes beyond the White House to uncover what exactly comes after the presidency, offering a glimpse into the complex relationships of these five former presidents and how each of these men views his place in a nation that has been upended by the Oval Office current norm-breaking occupant, President Donald Trump. And Kate, I got to tell you, this book couldn't have come at a more perfect time with the pending rumble that seems to be going on between a former president and the current Oval Office resident.
Yeah, the timing was pretty good, I have to say.
How did you stage that?
I don't know who I'm more grateful to, because Obama came out and then Trump attacked him. I mean, Obama hasn't really been saying much at all. And so it was fascinating that over the weekend this kind of rumble started.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting, to hear you say that he hasn't been saying much. I don't think that he's been totally out of the picture. I mean, occasionally, you know, he'll say something, and but it just seems like now, maybe because we're months away, maybe the effects of coronavirus, I don't know, but the stuff that's being thrown out there, I mean, it's like the gloves are starting to come off.
Yeah, it really is reminiscent of 2016, really. I think that a lot of it has to do with Joe Biden. You know, I wrote a book about vice presidents, and their relationship between Biden and Obama was very close. And I think that the fact that it's his own vice president who's running, and then also I think he does think that Donald Trump has mismanaged the pandemic. But he's angered a lot of Democrats, and I interviewed people who said they really wish he had more and come out more strongly before. So I think he's been very measured.
Yeah. Well, and you might be right overall, you know, considering what has been said. It's just that, boy, I'll tell you, we just see the things, you know, rumbling up a bit, and that, oh, my goodness, you know, we're just not used to hearing, you know, this kind of interaction. You know, mostly presidents, as, you know, George W. has done, you know, stayed in the background on purpose, refused to comment only. And I think respectfully so, because the job in the Oval Office is so incredible. And I've talked about this often. in our show, Kate, is that, you know, it's not like you go to school to become president. I mean, this is probably the biggest OJT job that anybody could ever have, right?
And it is. I mean, I interviewed President Trump in an Oval Office interview, and I asked him, you know, he was sitting behind the Resolute desk, this famous wooden desk that JFK sat behind, and I said, you know, now that you face these issues that come across this desk, do you have more empathy for the men who came before you? And he said no, without hesitation.
Wow.
You know, that he has been handed a lot of problems, and I asked him if he thought he would fit into the president's club, and he said no, without hesitation there either. I mean, he kind of laughed at the question a little bit. I think he's a disruptor. He's somebody who, you know, breaks all the rules, and this is another rule that he is going to break. One of the rules of the president's club is not to criticize the sitting president. And we're seeing Obama break that rule. And like you said, Bush has not. He's really stayed quiet. I think he's learned that from his father, who stayed pretty quiet during Clinton's years in the White House also.
Well, do you think after all is said and done, and I'm almost going to the final chapter here, in terms of your observation, so forgive me, but it just begs the question, do you think after everything is all said and done that the president somehow in years ahead may realize that everybody contributed and brought something to the Oval Office that was important for this particular time? Because Donald Trump, as being a disruptor, no doubt about it, the status quo was something that was bothersome to many Americans. I mean, 63 million Americans, in fact.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think in his post-presidency, whenever that is, I don't think we're going to see him embrace these former presidents. I mean, I did ask him if, you know, looking at history, you can see John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. They famously did not get along, and Adams didn't even attend Jefferson's inauguration. So there was a lot of bad blood there. But then towards the end of their lives, they started this wonderful correspondence. They wrote to each other all the time. They famously died within hours of one another.
Exactly.
And, you know, I asked him, I said, do you think like Adams and Jefferson, you and Clinton could become friends someday? And he was intrigued by the question. I think he was very engaged in the conversation because no one really asked him questions like this. It's a little bit off the beaten path. And he said, anything's possible.
Right.
You know, I don't think that I can see that ever happening, you know, but I do think that if Trump called up anyone right now, they would do whatever they could to help during this pandemic. Absolutely.
Exactly. And I think that that is the character of the President's Club, having gone through this kind of experience. I mean, how many other people can you talk to have experienced, you know, the power, the pressures of the Oval Office? I'll never forget, Kate, this picture of President Trump coming out in the Rose Garden. I think this was in the first week of his presidency. And he had a rather, you know, concerning look on his face. And the media asked him, Mr. President, how's it going? And he goes, oh, I mean, and you could just see him. He goes, this is bad. The look on his face reminded me, because I've been around in certain businesses, I've been around where you have to deal with bankruptcy attorneys, and when they open up the books and realize, you know, the patient is in dire need of help, you know, it's like everything is metastasized, we got to put it out of its misery kind of thing. The look on his face reminded me of the look of many attorneys I've seen over the years.
What he was trying to convey to me is that he was handed this big mess. That's what his perspective is. You know, he says the W. Bush's foreign policy was the single worst, you know, decision in American history to go into Iraq. He thinks Obama destroyed the economy. I mean, he definitely, you know, at one point during our conversation, he came out and with a piece of paper that said Trump's list of accomplishments, and it went through. It was a single, you know, space, one sheet of paper, you know, what he's accomplished. And he said he's done more than any other president in history. I do think he's defensive because there is a lot of criticism of him and his leadership. So I do think that he's eager to point to any bright spots and contrast himself with the men who came before him.
And that's a bit of his personality, which I think also troubles people who have supported Donald Trump, is that we don't necessarily do well in dealing with people who find it necessary to brag about themselves. Why not just let the facts carry the day? And maybe it's because of, the seemingly overwhelming
the
pressure.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Just the way you like to hear from us, I'm Bill Martinez. Kate Anderson Brower is with us, author of the number one New York Times bestseller, The Residence, and we're talking about her new book. Wow, this is, talk about an inside look. And Kate, I got to tell you, I believe you really honored the presidency with your questions, your insight, and the way you reported in Team of Five, the President's Club in the age of Trump, and especially giving us a better look I would say, of President Donald Trump, and as we were saying before the break, is that his defense mechanism seems to be, you know, on guard because of the onslaught of negative media that he gets.
Yeah, and, you know, I interviewed a White House resident staff who work for him. So these are housekeepers, engineers. I got to know butlers when I was reporting my book on the residents, and they say that behind the scenes he is actually quite kind. He hangs out with his grandkids in the residence on the second floor of the White House, and you can find them sitting on his lap, having a meal together. And he told me, you know, that the media has trumped up this idea that it's chaotic in the White House. Now, I don't know if that's entirely fair, because if you look at his Twitter account, there's certainly an image of anger and chaos there, mm-hmm. you would assume. I mean, but he is personally one-on-one, and it's not just my interaction with him. I've heard this from friends who are also a journalist. He is a one-on-one quite affable and kind, and mm-hmm. It's just kind of jarring because there is, you know, this sense that we have of him that he is very bitter and angry. I think it is a defense mechanism. I think he does feel like he's backed into a corner and that he has to constantly be defending himself and then bragging about what he's done. And I think you're right that sometimes backfires.
Mm-hmm. In contrast to George W. Bush, often during his administration, I would shout, defend yourself. Why don't you say something? You're allowing the media to characterize you and form your presidency. And with Donald Trump, you know, we don't have to worry about that. Tweets away, and you know, it's you know, I guess it's all part of the total charm package of Donald Trump, if you can say that.
Well, you know, I interviewed President Carter and Rosalynn Carter in their very modest, you know, house down in Georgia, and I asked them what they thought of Trump, and it was funny because Trump indicated to me in our interview that he thought that Carter had been mistreated by the other presidents in the club, because Carter also is an outsider. You know, he's somebody who was a peanut farmer, and mm-hmm. people barely knew who he was, even though he had been governor of Georgia, but so I think that there was originally like an affinity there that Trump had for Carter. That's since gone away because of some of the things Carter said. But Carter said, you know, I asked him what he thought of Trump, and he said, listen, Ronald Reagan lied. I don't really have much of an opinion. And Rosalynn Carter interrupted him and said, oh, it's a total train wreck. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But I think it just goes to Jimmy Carter's independence that he called Donald Trump to congratulate him on his election victory. He is somebody who doesn't necessarily fit into that elite, the Bush, the Clinton, the Obama kind of world. So the two of them are so different, Carter and Trump, but they have that in common.
Well, I think Trump has a heart for a bit of the underdog, does he not? And the malrepresented?
Yes, I think so.
You know, so
yes,
that I could see him gravitating to Carter in that sense. You know, I don't think Bill Clinton needs much defending, or the others for that matter. just saying. No.
Yeah, I mean, some of my reporting, I interviewed a close friend of the Clintons. He said that Bill Clinton is worried that Barack Obama will become the first billionaire former president. And, you know, Clinton's mad about that because mm-hmm. the Clintons have been criticized for cashing in on the presidency. They have made so much money. And the sense there is that there's some competition between the Clintons and the Obamas. I think it's just one-sided from Bill Clinton, honestly.
Yeah. Well, of course, how this scandal though President Obama has insisted his administration was scandal-free, but this information is coming out with, you know, the FBI, the intelligence community during his administration, you know, could bruise him up a bit. And, you know, we'll see how that plays out. I did want to address, you did write about this, and I appreciate that you did, because, you know, as you say, the conflict within the Bush family towards Trump, because the way Donald Trump had attacked George W. and certainly Jeb when he was a presidential candidate. And then we have H.W.'s funeral. And President Trump seemed to be very compassionate in supporting of the family. Explain what happened here.
Well, I think that he, you know, and I interviewed him not long after that funeral, and he said he really appreciated being invited. It was a beautiful ceremony. He wanted to be part of it. I think it was obvious that there was a little bit of awkwardness there because he didn't, you know, he and Hillary Clinton didn't acknowledge each other. But George W. Bush came over and shook everyone's hands, and I think that that was a moment that was important. And, you know, Donald Trump in our interview said, look, I respect George H.W. Bush. I had said some mean things about his son, Jeb. I'm sure that's something that, you know, he could never forgive me for, and Barbara Bush didn't want to forgive me for. So I think that Trump is aware that, mm-hmm. that there were some things that were said in 2016 that you can't really take back. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I also think the Bushes were very smart to invite Donald Trump to the funeral because, you know, John McCain didn't invite Trump, and so the funeral became about Donald Trump and his feud with John McCain.
Exactly, sadly.
Yeah, and I think it's sad that that happened, so I think mm-hmm. it's important that they invited him.
Kate, Melania Trump, wow, I mean, what an incredible representation as the First Lady. Give us some insight into Melania and what you were able to find out.
Well, I know that she is, of all the former first ladies, the only one she has a relationship with is Laura Bush, and that she confided in Laura Bush when the Bushes were in Washington during Bush Sr.'s funeral. Laura Bush went to the White House. Melania Trump was very kind to set up a meeting with the president's staff, who the Bushes had known for 8 years. So there was an emotional reunion at the White House. Very sweet. Another thing Melania Trump did that I wish the White House would publicize more is she brought George Haney, who was a head butler at the White House during the Bush years, Bush Sr. She flew down on Air Force One with George. I know George called me and told me he was so excited to Barbara Bush's funeral. And it was really kind of wonderful because to bring, for a First Lady to bring a butler to a former First Lady's funeral, that was a very kind thing to do.
Exactly.
I think we don't know very much about her, and I think it's probably because that's the way she wants to keep it. But Laura Bush is very, has been very generous and offered her advice. And I think what, from my reporting, Melania Trump told Mrs. Bush that she was, you know, getting criticized constantly, and she was very upset. And Laura Bush tried to kind of reassure her that that's, every First Lady faces some criticism.
Well, we want to tease people about the book because this is wonderful. I mean, it's great insight and reading. And Kate, what do you think are some of the highlights that people need to read in the book that, you know, will give them, you know, a fuller perspective of the office and one Donald Trump?
Well, I do think that I have a chapter on the rules of the club. I thought that was, it sort of grounds you in the history of it. You know, I have information.
There's actually rules, huh?
Yeah, well, they're unwritten rules of the club. Mm-hmm. You know, and JFK during the Cuban Missile Crisis asking all of his living predecessors for help and guidance. I mean, the kind of desperation that these presidents feel when in office, as you say, and the weight of the world is on your shoulders. And you're desperate for help. And there are, right now, four living people who know exactly what that feels like, who have been through it. So I think that that's an important chapter. I also thought that I was interested to learn that the last living president who George H.W. Bush saw in person was not his son. It was Barack Obama.
Kate Anderson Brower. Kate, the book will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com and available, of course, at all the usual places. Thank you very much, I mean, for the contribution and what you have given us in this book. This is awesome. You're a true gift. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Bill.
This is Dan Perkins for Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your Veterans Tip of the Day. Did you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month? And the VA, along with Prevents, is calling for you to help inspire a national challenge. Here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. Post a photograph or video on your social media channels of what you are doing to take care of yours and your fellow veterans' emotional well-being. Show us what works for you. It might be yoga, painting, running, singing, video chatting with loved ones, walking your dog, baking cookies, movie time with your family.
One size does not fit all, but we all need to practice things that helps maintain good mental health during this challenging time. Be creative, serious, funny, or touching. Hashtag more than ever before and challenge your friends, colleagues, and family members to join the challenge. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
All gates remain closed at the Naval Air Station Corpus Christi in Texas following a shooting at one of the gates to the air station earlier today. Base officials have not released many details except to say the suspected gunman who prompted a lockdown has been neutralized. It remains unclear if he was shot or arrested. A shopping mall in Glendale, Arizona, which had just reopened after being closed because of the pandemic, the scene of a shooting last night, where a gunman wounded three people, one of whom's in critical condition. This woman took a phone call from her daughter, who works at a restaurant at the Westgate Entertainment District.
She said, just listen to me. There's a shooter here. We're hiding in the back of the building. We have the guests that were eating here and all of the staff. I'm terrified.
The gunman in that case is now in police custody, and this is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Getting America back on track. Yeah. Bill Martinez live.
Back with you, America, just the way you like to hear from us, fresh and independent every day. And with us, speaking of fresh and independent, and a little bit ornery, I'm told, but I can't imagine Lou Euler ever being ornery. I can't imagine that being a descriptor of your your personality, Lou. I think it's people that misunderstand your passion for that which is fair and free, right?
Absolutely. What's best for people in the nation, you bet.
Amen. He's the founder president of the National Tax Limitation Committee. Lou, I am excited that more and more Americans are getting outside of their homes. I'm talking to people every day, and they're going, oh, Bill, I went to a restaurant. I had dinner at a restaurant. I forgot what that felt like. And, realizing that the risk is there, just like on normal occasions. I mean, without coronavirus, I mean, every day we were facing risk. And, this too shall pass, and we'll get on the other side of it. And more Americans, as they are venturing out of their homes, are realizing that, we have flattened the curve, and now we need to, allow herd immunity and the wisdom of our scientists and our researchers to come up with, a vaccine that will help us get to the next phase. But it's going to be a process where, this is going to take some more time, and I think if we're fortunate, as some of the scientists have suggested, maybe the end of the year, first quarter next year, maybe we have the vaccine. But we can't allow our world and our economy to stop any more than what we've already invested. I think this has been an incredible experiment that we've endured. It's been very costly, but America needs to get back to work.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. And the left has overblown the COVID-19 risk And the more you read of experts in immunology, etc., why you find that they agree that this has been used as a device for the big government folks who want to shut down the private sector, grow the public sector, and steal from the public sector, frankly, money that they should be earning through an open economy, which we can reassert right now. And we're starting to do that with a tax reform education project to show people what led to a great economy by January of this year, and what can lead to a restoration of that by the end of this year. That's what we're working on. That's where we have to head.
Lou, I appreciate the insight in this, because I think this is one of the unwritten stories that's taking place here as a result of COVID-19. Aren't we experiencing the redistribution of wealth in some form or fashion right now?
To some degree, and you know, the first of the CARES Act to address this made a terrible mistake, and that is they incentivized those who left their jobs went on unemployment. They gave them an extra $600 a week for a total of $1,000 a week, much more than many of them earned. Now that restaurants are beginning to reopen, small shops and that employed them, and they're being invited back, and in many cases they are saying, no, I'm earning more as unemployed than I was working. And so it's going to delay, unfortunately, the response that naturally is happening, and that is resumption of a normal life.
Exactly. Lou, and part of the unfairness of all this, supposedly, because some congressmen were asked specifically about this, and they said, well, the reason that we offered that was to support the employee, but it was under the caveat that the employers had to rehire the employees, right? And so then the follow-up question is, well, what happened if the employee, just like you said, the employee chooses to take the government handout and not come back to work? Because technically, according to the rules of any kind of loan and repayment for small businesses, is that if they didn't rehire the person, then they were going to be subject to the repayment of that loan in total. And now this is not their fault. It's because what the government has done to interfere with the process. So what's going to happen now?
Well, I think what we'll have now is a recognition that this was a mistake. It'll have to play out in its own time by July 31st, which is the last of that. Pelosi, of course, in the fourth CARES Act that she's presented here, the $3.4 trillion measure that will be considered by the Senate here shortly, why she's trying to extend that unemployment, that huge unemployment, to the first of the year, because she recognizes that if the economy resumes and really goes according to what it was doing in January, that politically that hurts her and her her associates. So that's what we're facing now, is enough toughness on the part of our people and understanding on the part of conservatives that we stop this nonsense.
Well, and the other thing that we have to deal with, and we brought out earlier this week, Lou, is that businesses are nervous in reopening because of potential lawsuits. I mean, you've got the buzzard attorneys, you know, flying overhead just waiting for, you know, whether it be a customer or an employee claiming they got coronavirus as a result of working for a particular business. And, boy, you talk about harassment lawsuits that are going to be taking place, and how, sadly, some of these attorneys will take advantage and they'll look for quick buyouts. And in order to set this aside, as I was sharing with somebody else, that, I work with several restaurants still in Southern California, and they say out of routine what will happen is that you'll have a wave of attorneys that will go into an area and they start challenging businesses based on wages and tips. And if all their paperwork is not specific, which you can imagine, I mean, how difficult it is for accounting and all the time that it takes to do that. I mean, it is one of those nuisance lawsuits that come about, and you're always waiting for that, that question and answers. What is it going to take to solve this problem? And usually it's about $3,500. And so the restaurateur who right now is already on thin ice is going to be looking forward to, being hijacked by these attorneys who come in and then, oh yeah, by the way, let's throw COVID-19 into the mix as well. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's happening in America. I mean, it's not happening in, some third world country. It's amazing.
No, you're right. Now, you've put your finger on something that's been a long-term problem that legislatively must be dealt with, and that is these runaway trial attorneys who, at the drop of a hat, file lawsuits, and the state laws many times accommodate this kind of nonsense. And so states and the federal government are going to have to begin to look and be tough about putting down rules that prevent these nonsensical lawsuits from occurring that are costing our society millions and billions of dollars.
Exactly, because the focus at the end of the day needs to be our GDP, getting America back to work, employees wanting to be productive again, because we know under the previous regime, Lou, for 8 years, people were not very happy because they weren't being productive, they weren't working, we were regulation nation, and this President Donald Trump has been full force against these regulations, again, just signing another executive order to eliminate more regulations so that we can get America back to work.
Yes, now we're the president and his team, I think, are really trying to do the job, and fortunately, the new crew of immunologists that are now stepping forward and challenging some of the medical claims by some of the folks that have been semi in charge will help us, and that will put the put America forward as quickly as possible.
He's the founder and president of the National Tax Limitation Committee, the one and only Lou Euler. Lou, thank you as always. Appreciate the time, buddy. Take care. Be safe.
You bet.
Here's Don Schenk with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 27 languages.
Around the globe, people are facing incredible hardship due to the coronavirus pandemic. But some in Pakistan have encountered even greater difficulties because of their faith in Jesus. The Tide Gospel Radio Ministry recently began broadcasting in two languages in Pakistan, which has been an exciting development. But unfortunately, we hear that Pakistan Christians have been denied aid during the COVID-19 crisis. International Christian Concern reports that 100 families were turned away from a village food distribution point last month because they were Christian. Independent Catholic News reported that Christians in Karachi say minority faith groups were denied food vouchers. Please pray for these marginalized Christians.
To learn more about how the Tide International Radio Ministry is bringing hope and encouragement to listeners in two new languages in Pakistan, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthur Decks for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthur Decks for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans, nonprofits, and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Pray you're hanging in there, staying safe and well, minding all the, social distancing, hand-washing things. I mean, I don't know. I think, again, you know, we are entering, I think, a refreshing air and a welcomed air of common sense. And, I'm not sure the government officials and some of these scientists, because, you know, they're paid to cause us to fear. Because as long as we're fearful, then we keep paying money, like we think we can trust them after all the great models and information they've given us. I'm still confused whether or not we should be wearing masks, wear masks. I mean, you got half the scientists, because that's the nature of scientists. They keep asking questions. They don't really get to, you know, come up with all the answers. But I think it's quite ironic, because I came from a business world where, you know, when you projected something, and you said, okay, this is the plan, this is the model, this is the effect that we're going to have, you were measured on the effectiveness of said model. And if you were off 1%, I mean, in a negative sort of way, I mean, you can always be better, but never less. And even if you were less than 1% or 2%, I mean, you'd be thrown out of the boardroom. You know, you're not there anymore. But yet, in the realm of science, I guess you can just kind of put your finger up in the air and feel how the wind's blowing. And if you're off with your model, like Dr. Birx chastised the CDC about being off like 25, 30%, somehow it's okay. And they live another day and it's okay. But meanwhile, the rest of America is scared out of their skulls, trying to figure out, well, should I go outside? Should I not? And all this stuff. But we've got some real positive things to talk about. Sean Covey's joining us, Senior Vice President of Innovations and Products at Franklin Covey. And of course, you hear the Covey name and you think of his dad. And his dad blessed me so much over the years with was the iconic book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And right when you thought you got seven, he goes, oh, I got an eighth one. He's such a kidder, huh, Sean?
He's such a kidder. Who would have guessed?
Yeah. Well, I love it, you know, because when I even go back and I see some of these videos of your dad, laugh was, and his smile, you had no choice. You just were drawn into it, weren't you?
Yeah, he was a good man. He was very affirming of people. His smile was contagious. And, you know, and it comes through in The Seven Habits. It's a book about hope and about improvement, right? And it comes through.
Well, and if we ever needed a refresher on this, and of course, you're releasing the 30th anniversary. I mean, that's amazing. 30 years of anniversary, and now it's kind of refreshed. I mean, if there was ever a time that it needed to be revived, it is now, because as it was then, a blessing to those of us that needed that message, you know, in light of what we've been going through and in light of what is on the horizon for America. I think, you know, as I have often told my kids, you know, the best form of revenge is success. And I believe that's where America is bound for, is that we're bound to come back and be successful in a grander way, which will, you know, kind of speak volumes in the face of those naysayers and those antagonists that have been kind of happy and jubilant about some of the trials that America has recently been enduring.
Yeah, I think so. And to your point, this is being re-released. It's the 30th anniversary edition of The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, you know, by my dad, Stephen Covey. And it's been a profound book across the world. And it's as popular today as it was 30 years ago. And this re-release has new insights. I didn't want to do it. I got persuaded by the publisher to add some insights at the end of each chapter just to show how applicable these habits are today. And I think about the corona days we're in right now, and how the message in the book is more important than ever. And I think the message would be, you know what, you know, habit one, be proactive. You have a choice to make. You can't control what happens to you, the outside influences, but you can't control what you do about it. And there are so many good things that can come out of this pandemic. And I agree, we're going to come out of this stronger. And not only as a country, but I believe individually we can. And as teams and organizations, we can. And I, you know, I was going out for a jog the other morning, and I ran into a neighbor of mine, and I said, "How's it going?" And she said, "Oh my goodness, this is the best." I said, "What do you mean it's the best?" She said, "I'm reconnecting with my children."
Yes.
They were so busy before in activities and everything, and now I'm spending long time with them in dinners, and we're reconnecting. It's wonderful. I hope it lasts a long time.
Wow, that's awesome.
Know, what a beautiful attitude. I think there's lots of silver linings that can come out of this.
And with Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, I mean, talk about golden nuggets. And I think that this is what spurred me on everything that was associated, you know, whether it was with your dad or with, with Franklin Covey. And before it was Franklin, there was just a lot of common sense from wise people, experienced people that took it out of the realm of the theoretical and brought it into the practical. Because what your dad and what you initially presented with Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, it's just right there at the ground level. I mean, you know, we don't need to be some, you know, theoretician or some lofty individual in some ivory tower. I mean, this is just practical stuff, right?
Right. I think that was the brilliance of my father, is he took something kind of complicated and synthesized centuries of success literature and effective living, and condensed it into a practical framework that's easy to follow, right? It's the idea of inside out, private victories, doing well with yourself is necessary before you can do well with other people, the public victory, right? Making these into habits, like think win-win, to the idea of mutual benefit. I care about me, I care about you. Sharpen the saw, the principle of renewal, right? You should never be too busy driving to take time to get gas. We've got to renew ourselves, our body, heart, mind, and spirit regularly, right?
Right.
To be effective people. So, yeah, that's what he did. That's the brilliance of this book, is it's practical, doable. I can read it, and tomorrow morning I can practice this, right, and change.
What was it like for the kids, you know? There were, three kids, right?
Was it my family?
Yes, in your family?
There were a boatload of us. There were nine of us.
Oh, nine. How did I forget that number? Yeah. Maybe it's only three that's involved in the business, or did I misread that?
Yeah, there's only three involved in the business today.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so that's where I got the three. But yes, when you mentioned nine, I remember. I go, oh, that's right, Stephen Covey. I mean, right. It was a flock of Coveys. So, yeah, I imagine to manage nine kids, boy, you had to have the, you know, rules of engagement here. So what was it like growing up as your father was coming up with this? And of course, I'm sure he was preaching this long before he put it to print.
Well, I had a good dad. I was lucky, and a good mom, too. Lucky. And he was, you know, the book that wasn't published yet when we were young, and and he wasn't like treating it like some experiment.
Yeah, you weren't like family lab rats here for his project.
Family lab rats, right. But it was genuine. But these principles came through. For example, he was always teaching us about goal setting and modeling it, and we'd set goals as a family, right? Mm-hmm. And then we'd blow it, and then he'd get together and we'd. He'd make us apologize to each other, and we'd try again. And he was always teaching us to be responsible. So I would often come home and I'd blame people for things. I'd, you know, I remember one time coming home and saying, I'm going to flunk algebra, Dad, because my teacher sucks.
Right.
He'd take me aside and say, okay, you're being a victim here, Sean. Can't you see? You're going to flunk algebra, and it's his fault, not yours. That's called, you know, passing the buck.
Right.
And if you flunk algebra, son, it's your own fault, not your teacher's. And I'd say, Dad, you're so weird. Where's Mom? But, yeah, so he was teaching us the ideas of you're responsible and you can create a vision for your life. And you know what? You can get along with anybody. Find common ground and you know, sharpen your saw and keep yourself fit and keep reading all the time. He always used to say, you know, people stop reading when they get out of school. It's so important to have a regimen to keep your mind sharp and continuously improving.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sean, this was also valuable for you as a kid growing up, as an adult coming into business and working with your dad, that you said, hey, look, we got to do something for teens. I mean, this is practical. If we can teach them younger instead of waiting until they become an adult to embrace these nuggets, you know, how much better would they be, right?
Right. That's where I got the idea. I read my dad's book, and I thought, hey, this is good, but it has no cartoons.
Exactly.
And yeah. I thought, this is powerful. Why don't I apply it to the teenagers? And so at the time, I was speaking a lot to teens, and so I thought, great, I'm going to take the 7 habits and apply it to dating and to school and to social media and to self-esteem and addictions and all the things that they struggle with. So I collected a whole bunch of teens from around the world. We had a lot of focus groups. We got tons of stories from teenagers. And so now we have a teenage version, 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens, that takes these powerful ideas and applies it to teenage life. And it's been really well received by teenagers.
Yeah, I was going to ask, give us some anecdotal response, you know, from these teens that have participated. We've got about a minute left here, Sean. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Well, they love it. They love it because it's teens telling their own story. I'm kind of a narrator, right? But they get to hear from their own fellow teens, and teens have, they don't have to unlearn so much as us adults. They get it.
Yeah.
And they get the idea of beginning with the end in mind and setting goals and thinking win-win and why life is not a competition like sometimes us adults think it is. So they resonate really well with it. I also wrote one for little kids, 7 Habits of Happy Kids, the illustrated picture book.
Oh, wow.
But this
cool
new one, the 7 Habits 30th Anniversary Edition, is something I hope everyone will pick up. It's the brilliance of my father, and it can... His work was all about helping you become a better person.
What a great legacy. I mean, you know, for your dad and, you know, for your family and what you've picked up. You know, you picked up the mantle and continue to carry it on and extend it to teens and now even young kids as well. Wow, this is great. And a great reminder to reconnect with the 7 habits of effective people. And Sean Covey has been with us. Sean, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. Take care.
Hey, Bill. So good to be with you. Thanks so much.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than 2 decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Has your body?